Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to What's Culture Gaming. My name is Rich and I'm joined by the ever lovely Kirsten Rhea.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we are back as we're going to be answering more of your burning questions from Twitter. You can use the hashtag WCGP to send us questions. We'll be answering them every single Thursday. Now, to kick things off, Kirsten, we've got a question from Ashvin Sathisan. I'm hoping I've pronounced that relatively okay. And it's very simple. Will the both of us be playing Last of Us Part 2?
Oh, yes. Or yes.
Killing your religious church.
It is pre-ordered and it is ready. Well, not ready to go, but as soon as it is ready to go, I will be ready to go and I will be on it like a rocket. Yeah, I'm super excited. It was a little bit heartbreaking to shell out so much money for a pre-order, but yeah. It's worth it. It's so worth it. I just wanted to make sure that I paid for it and I knew it was there and that it would just be doing its thing and ready for me the moment that I can actually play it. So the answer, short answer is yes, I will be.
I'm also yes. Now, we were talking about this in one of the office chats today. You're just like, oh, Last of Us 2 is out tomorrow. And there's like a bunch of people who aren't going to be working tomorrow simply for this game because it's such a big deal. And I'm down, it's also not working. And Ben Roy, the resident Last of Us fan, who isn't Josh or Scott, has said, but Rich, you don't like Last of Us. I'm like, no, I don't like the combat in The Last of Us. I love the games. Mm. So I'm still picking it up. I've still pre-ordered it and it is arriving tomorrow. But yes, I'm also playing Last of Us Part 2 and I'm very excited to see where it goes. But I have said this before, I am playing it on the easiest difficulty so I don't have to deal with the Naughty Dog combat that drives me up the wall. Controversial as that take is. But I started playing Uncharted 1 the other week and that combat is awful, but I'm not going to try and slag off the game too much before playing it. But yeah, answer to that, Ashvin, is both of us is a solid yes. So Grandius follows up with a question saying, which game has the best personal message?
Do you know what, I think one that resonated with me quite a lot, I think definitely had to be Life is Strange. Just because it, you know, obviously it is, you know, sort of supernatural. She has these magical powers and stuff, but it's just the fact that it goes so in depth into like bullying and mental health and, you know, just getting mixed up with the wrong crowd and family life and all that sort of stuff. And I just think that just really resonated with me because I was bullied all throughout school. And to be honest, I've been bullied my whole life. I still get bullied now.
Welcome to the internet.
Yes. So, you know, so it's just one of those things that I think sort of seeing it from that standpoint and knowing that that you're in control of people's lives almost, you know, that you have those multiple choices to be able to actually prevent things from happening. It was really, really meaningful to me. Like the moment where I can't remember her name, but there's this one character where she gets relentlessly bullied, bless her, because of some, you know, awful thing that happened at a party. And she gets so depressed about it that she goes on top of a building and she tries to basically kill herself. And it's horrible because even though you have these powers within the game to stop time and rewind time, because you've done it so much at that point, the one moment where it really matters, where you can really do something and stop, you know, to help someone, your powers just stop working. And I just remember just like, just sitting there thinking like, I have to do this right. I have to make sure that everything I say and do is correct. Because if I do one thing wrong, this poor girl is, you know, her life is going to be like gone forever. And yeah, it was just, it really, really hit me hard to sort of just think like, wow, yeah, they've done that so well that you could sort of, you could just sort of blasé your way through it and be like, it doesn't matter if I make a mistake because I can just go back. But to choose that pivotal moment as a point where no, like you can't make mistakes now. It's just, yeah, it was just really, really strong. And, but I mean, that game's brilliant anyway, but yeah, that one moment in that game, it really hit home for me, I think, to just, yeah, it was, heartbreaking to say the least.
For me, I would say Celeste, which was something I'd never really considered playing until Scott like started badgering me to try it. And I picked it up and I've played it through twice, and it's an incredibly moving game for such a sort of a simple concept. It doesn't go, it's not something that goes really deep with things. It's just something that digs really deep. It's the story of a girl, Madeline, who's climbing Mount Celeste, and she's battling like a manifestation of what is basically an inner demon. She doubts herself. Her mental health is down the toilet. She meets people along the way who help her. And eventually she comes to terms with, she comes to like an agreement almost with her demonic self, and they work together to push up the rest of this mountain. And it's such an incredible experience, not only in terms of the message it tells, the story it tells, but also even just the way it plays. It is, at the end of the day, it's a video game, and being a very tough pixel platformer weirdly like really well accompanies the whole mental health message, because there's so many points in that game where you can get annoyed, where you want to throw the controller away because it annoys you so much. But they add in these moments where you have to control Madeline's breathing. You have to, it's like almost like a mini game with a feather, and you have to like move a box up and down with it to keep her breathing, to calm her down. And you see this dialogue between herself, and it's so the words left me. I do this every week. It's so familiar to see that the dialogue that between herself and herself, and their words that we've probably all heard in our own heads, and seeing them overcome both a metaphorical and physical mountain, reach that peak, is something truly special. And even playing through it again for the second time, even when you can blast through it because you know all the puzzles, you know how to use the movement options available to beat this certain section, it still hits home every single time because the message is so prevalent and so well done. So they're two games, I think, if you like those kind of games that really move you and have a really solid message behind it, but still play as fantastic games, Life is Strange and Celeste are two things that are so, so worth playing. Mm-hmm. So on a more hardware noted side, Crouch has asked, what do you think is the future of gaming with all the new VR games like Half-Life Alyx and affordable headsets like the Rift S and Quest, which can also be used as an all-in-one headset with the official release of Oculus Link? So basically, like, where are we going? Do you see VR as like the actual future of gaming? Is that where it's going to go? Do you think that's going to become the thing?
I don't know. I don't think so, just because if you do VR well, it is amazing. I mean, I think even the most simplest of games like Job Simulator, where, you know, you're in a situation where things aren't realistic, you know, they're bright and colorful and cartoony, they still immerse you so well that, you know, you do forget that you're not within this world. And I think that's the best thing about VR, is being able to really immerse yourself within the game. So I think for certain games it does work really well, but the thing is, there's always going to be people that just can't cope with VR. They can't cope with you know, the movement. I personally can play VR, but whenever I've tried to play games like Skyrim or anything like that where you are physically moving, I do just get really dizzy. So there's just always going to be that. So I can see it becoming more popular, and I can see people creating games truly to try and work around that, like how Resident Evil 7 did. They you know, put that aspect in and it works brilliantly because it is a horror game, and putting yourself within a horror game for me personally was brilliant, because that's like my dream, is to be in like a horror movie or a horror game, because I just love it so much. So there's certain aspects that work really well, but there's always going to be little things that just don't quite work for at all, or just for some people. And I think that's why it won't fully sort of take over, but I can see people kind of adapting to it more in the future.
Yeah, VR, I think when it kicked off and it became more popular, when, for example, the Rift became such a big thing, when HTC made the Vive alongside Valve, and then the PSVR kicked off, people read it as this is where gaming is going to go, not necessarily as an avenue alongside it. And I've always seen VR as an avenue alongside, because like you said, there is a barrier for entry, be it because of your physical ability, be it because you can't necessarily cope with games with like smooth locomotion. That completely ruins people, which I'm assuming it does for you as well. And then there's also the price tag. VR is not affordable. The Oculus Quest is about as affordable as VR currently gets, and it's pretty damn good. And it is in terms of its hardware, it's a glorified mobile phone, but it does still work. You can play games like Beat Saber, which is like one of the only killer VR apps that's available across like all of the platforms. It's still a fantastic purchase, but it's not easy to get into. But with game, like I'm currently on my second playthrough of Half-Life Alyx, and that game is absolutely phenomenal. It really shows how powerful VR can be. And I would love to see it ported to the PlayStation 5. Like, that's something that really needs to happen for the PlayStation crew, because if they want the PSVR to be, I mean, I have a PSVR as well. I think it's fantastic. It's a great entry point, but I feel like they really need that kind of killer app. And Half-Life Alyx would be the killer app for PSVR if they can port that over to PS5, because I don't think the PS4 has the power to run it yet. Mm-hmm. But VR is a fantastic thing to get into and look into if you can afford it, but it's not necessarily going to be the future. But I think more developers are going to take it and try stuff with it, because so many more developers are trying to make full experiences rather than just a little like mini game demo where VR really began. Now you've had things like Blood and Truth on the PS4, you've had Boneworks, you've had Half-Life Alyx. It's showing how good that platform is. Yeah. But again, it won't be for everyone, not only down to physical stuff or financial ability. It's just, some people don't like it. But if you've never tried VR, I'm very new to VR. I only got into it at the end of last year. It's a phenomenal thing to look into. So VR is not necessarily the future, like entirely, but it's something to keep an eye on for definite. Raul asks quite a question for the PlayStation lot here. Spider-Man or Horizon?
Oh, Spider-Man. Definitely.
Spider-Man for me as well.
Yeah. Easy question.
You played Horizon Zero Dawn?
No, well, yes, I did. I did play a little bit of it, but I just couldn't get into it. I just couldn't sort of get properly into it. And I'm not going to lie, I know this is going to be really controversial, but I got bored of it. I got really bored of it very quickly. Whereas Spider-Man was just, it's just such a good game. And then when I saw that there's this new Spider-Man that's coming out for the PS5, I was just like, this looks incredible. I don't know what it is with the Spider-Man games, but they're just so good. They're so likable. They're so fun. There's just something about just playing as Spider-Man swinging around the city and fighting bad guys that just is so, it just seems to resonate with everybody for some reason. Oh, maybe not everybody, but it's just an instant like for me, I think.
I think it feels more like a casual experience compared to Horizon, because
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
The same, yeah. I started Horizon and I got so far in, and then as soon as the game opened up, I started to feel a bit more like, oh, okay, because I have a kind of love-hate relationship with open world games, and Horizon was unfortunately one of the games that I lost out on because it's open world. But after seeing the reveal for Horizon 2 Forbidden West, I'm like, oh, I really should go back to Horizon. Either I'll boot it back up on my PS4 or maybe pick it up on Steam when that releases soon and play it on PC instead, because I don't know whether the controls might be better for me because I prefer playing stuff on PC over PS4. But I need to give Horizon another go. I really do. But if you gave me the two of them, I'd have to pick Spider-Man. So
yeah.
Yeah. George Meering asks, actually something we did on Chatty quite a long time ago, before you were even here, Kirsten, and that is, what is your earliest childhood gaming memory?
So my earliest childhood gaming memory was it was a Sega, I always forget what it's called. It was like this handheld Sega console, but I always forget what it's called. Game Gear.
Yeah.
A big, big old chunky thing.
Yeah.
And it was just Sonic. It was just Sonic on the Game Gear. That was my dad had the Game Gear, and it was like constantly on charge because it was just, the battery life was atrocious because it was just this massive, big bulk of a thing. And yeah, I just always used to ask him to dig it out. Like, you know, it was like one of the very first sort of like handheld consoles, I guess. And so, while he was away playing sort of more difficult games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill on the PlayStation, I was too young to play those. So he was like, here, have the Game Gear, have him play a bit of Sonic. So yeah, for me, it was just... a classic bit of Sonic on the Game Gear. That was the first proper gaming memory that I have, and then it would probably go on to the more like the PlayStation stuff, but that was the first thing that little old me, I was probably about maybe 6 or 7, maybe even younger, and I just sat there with this chunky thing that probably weighed as much as me. It makes me feel good just thinking about it. I just want to hold it. This thing was freaking massive.
Funnily enough, mine was Sonic as well, but it was on the Mega Drive. My dad would always tell me about the Mega Drive we had in the loft. And when I was young, I always heard Mega Drive and thought he somehow had like a big racing arcade cabinet in the loft that he'd just bring down and set up in the living room. But he brought down this like really old, like ancient CRT TV, just so I don't have to use the main TV, set me up with Sonic 1 and just left me. And while they would sit and watch TV, I'd be sat playing Sonic. And I played the living hell out of Sonic 1 and Sonic 2. I remember my mum going on eBay and buying me Micro Machines and Sonic Spinball, which are two of my favorite games on the Mega Drive. But I was playing the hell out of those, playing Streets of Rage with my mate who also had a Mega Drive. And I now actually have that Mega Drive. I've managed to like inherit it off my dad. So I still have my personal first games console. I still have it in my living room, which is the best thing to just see it there. But yeah, it was Sonic as well for me, but just I was playing on the TV. I never had a Game Gear. I've never played a Game Gear. So, but I've heard a lot about them. First, like, color LCD backlit screen, hence why the battery life was so piss poor. So, Fernando Caraballo asks, what video game franchise would you personally like to see brought back?
Oh, I mean, I've said this millions of times. I swear, every time I get asked a question like this, I'm just like, no one lives forever, please. It's just, I love it so much. Like, I keep wanting to go back and play it. There's only been two. There was two on the PC, and then I think they did the first game again, but they released it on the PlayStation 2, I think.
Wow.
But it's just such a brilliant little, like, idea about it. It's all based in the 60s, and it's about this woman called Kate Archer, and she's a secret agent, and it's just about her you know, adventures and her missions about trying to stop this evil corporation called Harm. And it's just brilliant. The story is amazing. I can't believe they've not taken it in and made a film out of it, because the story is perfect. And I just think it just would be a brilliant, funny game that they could just reintroduce into the world now, and it would work so well. You know, whether they kind of went more down a dark route with it, they could do, but I just think keeping that quirkiness and the stupidity of it, you know, with your little sort of lipstick camera and your robotic kitty, which blows up if people get too close. It was fun and stupid, and I loved it. And but again, it's an old Valve game that they got to number two and they thought, nope, that's it. That's all you get. We only do twos. We don't go further. We are now, but you're not getting any more. That's it. So yes, if they did ever, you know, remake No One Lives Forever or did a third entry, I would be so, so happy. My little childhood self would be squealing in her little boots. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant. And if you haven't played it, I recommend trying to get a copy and figuring out how to install it onto a PC nowadays, because it's so good. It's funny and so good.
So that would basically answer the next question for you as well. But for me, I say the same as well. Whenever someone asks me about a series that needs a sequel or should be brought back, it's Split Second, which is such an underrated racing game that I still go back to. I literally played it last week. Just boot the Xbox 360 up and play some Split Second, because I played the living crap out of that game. Same with the demo disc I got in the Xbox magazine, hence why I discovered the game. And that game is so... like, it's such a disappointing story to hear Disney kill off BlackRock Studios, who were a British developer, and they were like teasing the sequel to Split Second. The end of the game is like a cliffhanger, and then they go, yeah, we're not getting another one. And it sucks. It really, really sucks. So I'd love if Disney still have the IP, if they could like pass it off to somebody, or just like, you know, do a new game or do a remaster, although the game looks really good. I could probably put it on a TV, not show people the console, and say, this is running on an Xbox One. They go, that looks, yeah, looks good. Like, I genuinely think it's that good looking. You could probably pass it off as the current gen game. But yeah, for me, it's Split Second. But Jay Coops has asked, which is why I think that you're going to answer the same thing for this question as the last one, which video game or franchise would you most like to see made into a good movie or TV series? Heck, would you even want to star in it?
Oh, hell yeah. So there's many. So No One Lives Forever, I think, would be a nice, cheesy sort of Austin Powers-y sort of movie. That's definitely the vibe that you get from it. But to be honest, I think something that I know would just be a fantastic movie, just without a doubt, is the Bioshock or the Dishonored series, because they're two of my favorite games. I think that Bioshock could probably do... could do more well than Dishonored, just because I think Dishonored gets a bit complicated with the, like, effects and stuff. But from that sort of standpoint, Bioshock would just do so, so well. The characters are spot on. Like, the fact that it's all in 50s and they've got this steampunk sort of building. Like, you know, you've seen people kind of get close with these things on like Netflix and HBO and Hulu and stuff. And you think, I know you can do it because I'm seeing it here. You just need to get the, you know, the rights, and you need to do it. And if anyone is watching and you want to turn Bioshock into a movie, I would happily be in it. I would 100%. You wouldn't have to like ask me. Like, I could be a splicer. I don't care. I'll as long as I'm in it, I would be happy. You know, morph my face and make me all ugly and gross. That's fine. Turn me into a hero or a villain. I don't care. If you're making a Bioshock movie, I'm well up for being in it. oh, it would be so good. So good.
Because, I mean, you can see the like with the success of The Witcher that it's definitely possible. Yeah. And the fact there's a Resident Evil TV series in the works, which I'm really quite excited for. For me, I'm the kind of person that would like a TV show or a film. I personally prefer a TV show because you can tell bigger stories, obviously, because you've got more time to play with. I would rather see a TV show go back before the events of a game rather than recreate the events of a game. Like, we've got that that HBO Last of Us series. I'm intrigued to see where that goes. But for me, if I had to pick something to turn into a TV series, I would take Fallout. But ooh, I would take the events prior or leading up to the war, even like edging into the actual, you know, global thermonuclear war that happens in the universe, actually establish that. I mean, I know there are a lot of established things in Fallout, but they're more things you have to dig into to work out. If they manage to make them completely canon, like a TV series alongside it, and go, this is exactly what happened before the events of the games, produce that into something that's maybe more like a miniseries. But I'm thinking of like the aesthetic of Chernobyl, that kind of approach, that really, really harsh, gritty approach to quite actually kind of apt topic due to radiation and stuff. Do that, but make me a precursor to Fallout. Yes. You can take that, you know, retro-futuristic aesthetic and bring that in. And like the sort of live-action intro to Fallout 4, where you can see they've actually produced physical sets and things, seeing the guy messing around with the original Pip-Boy and stuff like that. Do that as a TV series, make it really gritty and always have that looming threat of this war over the top. Like, that's what I would like to see out of a series. Really gritty, set before ideally the games or during the events of the games, but not the storyline we know. Do something off to the side, because just recreating it one-to-one probably isn't going to work. In my opinion, but that's what I would say. So to wrap things up, good Apollo has done his research on both of us and has asked, who would win in a fight, BioShock or Roller Coaster Tycoon? Because we can have one big daddy and a little sister versus like 6,000 people in my park. Who would win?
That's a good question. Are these just normal people, though? They're just normal,
they're just
average
normal
citizens.
Guests, but I've got a lot of them. I have an army.
I've got a lot. I mean, I feel like the big daddy could definitely do a hell of a lot of damage. So I think he could easily take out quite a big bulk of your army. But you have enough people, you could probably take daddy down. Not
basically
gonna lie.
Like,
as long as you don't touch my little sister, that's fine. But yeah, you might be able to take the daddy down. I'd love to believe that he could do some real damage, though. It could be a big gory mess.
It would be a bit of a mess. They're quite an interesting series to clash together. I've always wanted, on a weird tangent, I was very tempted before in one of my in some of my gameplay in Planet Coaster to build a BioShock ride.
Yeah,
and try
I was
and do something
say,
like
you're,
that.
You're gonna have to do
it
that
is,
now.
I'm gonna have to do it now because I've done a Doom Coaster and I've done a Back to the Future ride. I know how to do that sort of thing, so maybe I should make a BioShock ride. Oh, yes. That's leaving me with some ideas. But thank you for all of those questions. If you want to send us more, you can tweet us at WCultureGaming using the hashtag WCGP. Anything gaming related, you've got burning questions for, even if it's silly things like that, please do send them our way. Thank you very much for listening or watching. If you are on YouTube, again, you can put questions in the comments below as well. But we will be back next week for yet another little Q&A style podcast thing. But until then, I have been Rich. You can follow me on Twitter at PickupChangeToe.
And I have been Kirsten Rhea. You can find me at Kirsten Rhea with two A's on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you very much for watching and or listening. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.